Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's a Faith and Family Friday, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Carrie. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Tom.
Carrie, I can't believe it. Christmas season ends on Sunday. Did you know that? Sunday's the baptism of the Lord. It's the end of the Christmas season.
Oh, I thought it was the Epiphany.
Yeah, a lot of people do, because, you know, the 12 days of Christmas and all that. But it's also sort of the end of the kids being home, right? So we're back to our house of just the three kiddos come Saturday, when the remainders are heading back to Franciscan.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Wait, should I be sad?
Well, it's kind of a mix, isn't it?
No. Yeah. It's 100% happy.
It is not. Yeah, that is just so not true. You enjoy having your kids around so much.
Just give me a couple months and then I'll let you know.
Yeah. So it's when I think about the kiddos, we, in a certain sense, they are kind of holding up our launching into 2025.
Oh, that's the best excuse I've heard so far. First it was Epiphany, then it was Annalise's birthday. Now it's, well, when the kids go back, then we'll get serious about our healthy eating. I love it.
Are you making fun
of me? What else? Then Trump's inauguration. That
I was using the one that I was sick. You know, isn't that great?
I just pick a day of the week. I can give you an excuse.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've gone long. Okay. Back in a minute with the program.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
All right. Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that stirs in us the desire to pray and the actual prayers itself. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would anoint us for this moment and bless those who are listening, that they might recognize your voice at work in what we're doing. Cleanse our voices, cleanse our conversation, and elevate it, Lord, by your grace and your strength, that it might glorify you in ways that go beyond what we could ever imagine or accomplish on our own. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
And with the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. See what I just did there?
It was wonderful.
Yeah. It was actually theologically a really important thing.
I think the Lord recognizes that, and you will be rewarded.
No, I went with the flow. I didn't have it written down, but I was naming this reality. I think it's so important to pay attention to what is real. And what's real is that we can strive to accomplish things that are of our own thinking, and the results will be purely human at best, or we can involve the Lord. And when the Lord gets involved, there's a way in which our thoughts can become cleansed and elevated. They get purified and they get raised up to a supernatural level because of God's grace. And that can then give us not just goals or visions or pursuits that are of our own human wanting, but they introduce God's desire, God's will, God's heart for our lives. And I wasn't really thinking about that when I started the prayer, but I'm like, that's what I want for this radio program. I want this radio program to be cleansed and elevated. And I think that's a lot of what we were ending up with last time when we got to the point where we started to talk about finding a word for the year, a scripture for the year, a phrase for the year. And I think that fundamental to that is this idea that we want to go beyond our own thinking. We want to have that cleansed and elevated, and by prayer and seeking the Lord, he will invade, he will stir, he will inspire a word, a scripture for the year that all of a sudden can be powerful. It can have dramatic impact on What it is we pursue, and honestly, I think find some motivation to actually pursue it.
I like that. I think last week we more or less did an assessment of our 2024 and talked about hits and misses and things that give us energy or take away from it. We kind of reassessed it through 7 questions that we answered, which I thought was a powerful way to begin looking at this year, even though it's midway through January and you sometimes feel that the year should start on January 1st. I think we're a slow wind up to the year's
party. I'm going to say we're only a third of the way through January. So we're still doing okay. We're still in the launching. We're in the getting launched page.
I was
the train hasn't yet left the station. The caboose is still there.
Yeah. So just still in the point at the point of trying to figure out what that phrase is for the year, what that scripture is. Although we do have a word we had generated. I don't know how God led that was. Sorry, Lord, I need more faith. And I loved our words because they're just more comical. But the neat thing about the Lord is you, in faith, you believe, and he makes it alive. The word was flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. And I feel like words can take on the life of a supernatural meaning because God is word. I don't know if that theologically is correct, but I just know that I've seen in my own spiritual life a way in which a song or a scripture or a phrase or even a billboard, something on it shows up and the Lord speaks this powerful message where I just know it is cutting between the bone and marrow. It is piercing the inward part of my heart because I know the Lord and he knows me intimately and we have that relationship. So
did that happen recently? I'm trying to think, can you remember a specific time, for instance, you said a billboard, that was confirming for you?
Yeah, when we went by that billboard that says Lovers, and I thought, my husband, no, I'm just kidding. Whenever we pass that billboard, my kids just all start laughing. It just, especially the younger ones, it's funny.
How about this one? I got a phone call from a fellow that I haven't talked to in a number of years, probably 5 years since we moved. And he called me and said, I want to bring out into the open a real pressing situation involving my family and dealing with this this inheritance situation. And he ended up describing almost to the T the situation I'm going through right now. And when I had a chance to share that with my brother, who is talking with me about how are we navigating this, I said, hey, I need to tell you about this phone call that I had.
And this is with lawyers and it's getting more divisive and
painful and disruptive and breaking the family and all of that.
This
right?
is where I love, I think it's Dave Ramsey. And this is to all those older listeners where he says, you need to be very clear about what your will is. It needs to be not hidden. It needs to not be kind of nuanced. But sit everyone down before you die and make it clear and that there's no guesswork. Because what happens is these parents leave and then the siblings fight. And it happens over and over and over again. And as you get older, I know it's harder to think clearly and have strength because you're being weighed down by just your physical being or whatever. But it's so important, I think, for families to have that clarity and to give them you and your siblings that peace of mind of what your wishes were from your father. And obviously he left a will and it was really clear. It's just the enactment of the will.
Yeah. It's always I mean, not always, it's regularly messy.
It doesn't have to be though,
it
right?
Doesn't, I love your German spirit of make it simple and clean and clear. And there's no questioning, but it's not like that when you have the messiness of people's brokenness and a desire to please. And so, a diminished capacity and a desire to like, I want to be accepted and acceptable in this moment. I'm describing my father in his weak moments, wanting to be pleasing to the one in front of him. And I don't want to have to face conflictual conversations and difficulties. It's so much nicer to just make this person say, oh, you're amazing, and just feel that love. Because someone can be that broken and sick, right?
Yes.
So
what to do, what to
well,
do.
Well, I brought that up because you were saying that at times the Lord is writing straight with crooked lines where, oh, I'm not sure that this process of discerning God's word, you know, a word for the years, using this online word generator, how much is the Lord really involved in that?
I think it's how much faith you bring to it. Honestly, I think the Lord puts a lot of it in our hands and in our belief. You know, if you have the faith of a mustard seed. So if my word for the year on the generator was fertility, and my kids started laughing. I was like, yeah, I'm going to have a baby at 55, which is known to happen, not with me personally, but with other people I know. And of course, that word immediately held a special place in my heart with the scripture about the one who went out and sowed the seed.
Yeah, Mark 4, the seed, the seeding on the different paths.
And that scripture has so much power in my own life of reflection and prayer and the Lord speaking. And so that word immediately can be brought alive through my own just conversation with God and allowing him to awaken that word in so many ways. So it really isn't about the specific word you get. It's how God awakens that word and it comes alive. The word became life.
Well,
and
God is
dwelt among us.
God is infinite intelligence, yeah. Right? He's perfectly wise and has the perfect way of working through a word to get to us the insight he wants us to have. And I'm going to bet if you continue to pray with that word, you're going to get an abundance of meanings that will begin to show up over the course of the year. And my word was farewell, and I already shared about that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. The kids were afraid I was going to die, right? But it's like, no, farewell is saying goodbye to things. And I'm thinking, wow, yes, Lord, I'm all in to saying goodbye to certain things so that I can fare well. If I want to do good things, if I want to be in a healthy condition, if I want to be faring well, then I need to say farewell to a bunch of things. See what I did there, right?
And
that was all just in 5 minutes of reflecting on, wow, there's, again, many facets of meaning to that one word that can be, again, really powerful.
I like that.
Well, and that tended to resonate with and work in correspondence with the scripture that has taken on a revived life for me. And that's from Luke 19. That was the story of the 10 cities life, or getting a 10 times return, or the phrase that has emerged in my life in these last 9 months or eight months, the 10X life, right? I want to live this 10X life.
Have you had a 10 cities life as your word of the year?
Yeah.
Right?
It was a handful of years ago, maybe 6, 7 years ago. I want to live a 10 cities life. And meaning I want to live that life in Luke 19 that receives the reward of Jesus saying, well done, come and, you know, now that you've done that little thing of being a good steward of your life, now I'm going to give you something much bigger.
So does it mean something different?
Yeah, it does. It does because of a couple of assets or aspects of the scripture that I didn't focus on the previous years. The first was that in Luke 19, it's in this parable of the nobleman who's leaving, and he entrusts to each of these servants, to 10 of his servants, one mina, M-I-N-A. A mina is translated in English as a gold coin, but it was a very valuable thing. It wasn't just, oh, it's like a silver dollar, but it's a gold dollar, right? No, it was 3 months' wages.
That sounds like a Bitcoin. See, Bitcoin's months' wages.
If you're making $300,000 a year, then it's about a one Bitcoin, yeah. And he says, engage in trade is the translation here in the New American.
He's telling us that the king,
the nobleman,
is telling his servants.
He's telling his servants
to go invest.
I'm giving you this gold coin. Now go engage in trade.
Okay. What does that mean for the day of Jesus's people?
Well, I decided to look up the Greek word. And I looked up a bunch of commentaries on the word engage in trade. It's one verb in Greek, and it is more literally translated to occupy yourself. And occupy is an old English word for work, employ, go do some occupation. Like occupy yourself. Go do this occupation. Go do this. What's your trade? Oh, my trade is a blacksmith. So all of a sudden now you have these ideas of engage in trade is be a good steward, work hard, work well, or invest. And it's invest yourself. So all of a sudden, all of these things mean things to me. And it's really striking. It's like, oh, okay. Insofar it has to do with the money that I have, it means invest well. Insofar it has to do with the gifts I've been given, it means be a good steward of the gifts that I've been given. If it has to do with my whole life, then that is, in what ways is my life weighed down rather than bearing a 10 times return in my spiritual life?
Now, I know you personally, and I can, you know, you're saying a lot of good words, but I know as you're sharing, all of those little phrases have deeper meaning. There's actually stories and significant meaning behind what you just shared, which I know is more on the private side of things, but still it's like, oh, wow, I see how God knows us intimately and he wants to speak to us. He wants to give us a message. He wants us to grow in faith. And so this whole word of the year thing, you know, you can look at it as a cute little game, but actually I think there's a lot more power to it if we allow the Lord to come in and show us that I see you, I know you, I know the number of hairs on your head. That is not an allegory or whatever. That is an actual, the Lord knows exactly how many hairs are on your head.
Yeah, if I had to use a word, personal. He's that personal.
Yes, that you are known. Yes.
Well, you are known in that intimate, personal, profound way, and he wants you to come alive through mining that relationship more fully.
You know, we went on something that you've mentioned earlier. You had this conversation with this guy and how God shows up. We did the blondes versus brunettes.
Before you do that, if you're going to talk about that, are we going to shift into something different? Because we have to take a break.
Oh.
So, all right, we'll take a break. Okay. And then we'll be back. And I want to hear about the blondes versus the brunettes. Okay, back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. All right. So Carrie, just before the break, you were talking about blondes versus brunettes. I have no idea what you mean. Actually, I do, but a lot of people listening don't know what you mean.
It's a silly game we play. Anyhow, with this game, we had to have the kids come up with 8 Fs. It used to be 5. We added a couple more. And that one group creates a date.
8 Fs. What do you mean? 8 words that begin with F. Sorry, I'm just making it clear. People are like, 8 Fs. What are 8 Fs? What does that mean?
It's great.
Fun, food, fellowship.
Finance, photo. Yeah.
Furtive.
Friends, furtive, faith, yep. And fresh. And so we did this escape room, which we've never done before, which was pretty awesome. You can talk about it later. But just the cute thing about this is I was a little concerned, even though we didn't have to actually get all the 8 Fs. It's just nice when it happens. I asked one of the blondes, well, what friends are coming or how are we going to meet up with friends or do you have any plan for that? And it just happened that we went to Mass at St. Thomas on a Saturday night and ran into a family. They were all there. How many kids did they have? Like 7 or 8?
Yeah, I mean 7 kids, I think.
And this is a family that we met. The last time we saw them was when we came here 8 years ago for a volleyball tournament over Easter. And it was this just kind of long, painful trip to follow our daughter for her sports event. But God redeemed it through being able to be at the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center and sharing Easter with the sisters. It was really a beautiful, holy thing. But that Friday night, a service, we went up to the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center. And this family met us there. They just happened to be going to Mass there. And then we ended up going to their house for dinner. And we just became immediate, you know, connection. And hung out with them that weekend, as well as did a couple other things. And we hadn't seen this family because before we moved here, they left to go to Lewiston. And so we run into them at Mass, and it was just a joy to see all of them. And we took a big, huge photo. And so I said, thank you, Lord, how he will intervene or he will make this word of friends come alive, because he knew that was in my heart. Now, you can say, oh, one is spiritualizing that. Well, yeah, go ahead, spiritualize away. I love to know that the Lord is intimately involved in my life. So
it was meaningful to bump into them, because it was not going full circle, but coming back around again to connect. And these dots on the line, on the timeline, allows you to say, oh my goodness, is that so-and-so? Look how big they've gotten.
Yeah.
Like, time goes by, and how has your life unfolded?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a very meaningful thing to do.
I think that is a lot about the New Year's resolution and taking stock of our previous year. And then looking back at 5 years ago, sometimes it's interesting to pull out goals we had 20 years ago or 10 years ago and to just see how things have unfolded. I think that is one reason why this family, they every year write down their 10 highlights from the year and they keep it in a book, so that it's not like that impressive in the moment. It's nice, like, what do we do this year? But I think it's more cool or monumental to look at it 20 years from now, to imagine looking back 20 years ago and saying, what were our 10 highlights 20 years ago or 40 years ago when before we met, kind of thing. Or if you have siblings and you kept that kind of book, and to be able to go back in time and just see, some people do like how God answered prayers through the year, and they just want to just honor God and be grateful and have gratitude and build that faith. I think that's partly some of the Old Testament sharings of scripture or storytelling, was to say, see how God is alive in our life and in our history and his story. I think that's a way to mark time and to build a sense of identity in Christ. Is this is who we are, and this is how the Lord is with us.
I love that. In fact, it was one of the things that, when I think about not just like what we did that night, but some of the other activities that we did over the course of this particular break, there were some new things we did. The escape room was one of them. There was a card game that got introduced into our family's life called Spades. And it's actually a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be.
And so, until we were partners and you and I started fighting, not fighting, but what did
Is
you
that
call
a
it?
9F? That, fighting?
Yeah, fighting. That's that fight. And it was just so funny. And I thought to myself, as we were like going back and forth, and our kids are like looking at us, Mom, Dad, this is just a card game. And I had this flashback to when I was living with my parents and they fought over really dumb things. And I thought, why would they argue over this? It's so silly. And I guess they're just comfortable, or there's history. And yeah, it was really funny to me. Not funny like, oh, aren't we so cute? It's funny like, oh, we've turned into an older couple.
Well, I've turned a corner this break with the kids home in my own mind. Now, in my kids' minds, I turned that corner years ago, but it finally showed up in a way that I couldn't argue against it. And it showed up very explicitly in Connect Four. You know that game, Connect Four, and getting these four little checkers in a row, right? I lost to all my kids. I used to be able to beat them all. And if they ever won, it was because I was kind of being cute and I would let them win.
Now, isn't chess harder than Connect Four?
Way harder.
So what?
I don't know. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And I'm thinking, all my kids are beating me and I'm really trying. My 12-year-old beat me. My 14-year-old beat me. My 16-year-old beat me. They all beat me, and they would just smile at me. And I'm like, I know that smile. I used to smile at you guys like that. Oh, wow, we've reversed. And there's nothing I can do about it. It's actually there was a chess video that came out a couple of days ago, and it was entitled Clickbaity, the most heartbreaking chess game I've ever seen. And in this chess game, you had a fellow playing who is like 55 years old. And he was at one point the number two ranked player in the world. They consider him arguably the best player who was never world champion. That's how good he was. And he was playing against a guy in his mid-20s who's really good. And they came down to this scramble at the end, right, where they only have a few seconds left. And so they're quickly moving and hitting the clock.
Is this a minute game?
It was like a 5 minute game, but it got down to the last like
But it's
seconds.
a 5 minute total, or each person gets 5 minutes.
Yeah, you get 5 minutes for the game, but then you get 1 second additional every time you make a move. So you get just back 1 second.
Okay.
So it's still, you have to go super fast at the end. And he was winning and he ended up losing because his clock ran out and he broke down in tears. He put
Oh.
his hands on over his face and he started to like weep out loud, like, whoop.
Does he have Asperger's or something? Like,
No. He's like a living legend of chess. And I give so much credit to that other player in his 20s. He just put his hands in his face and put his elbows on the table and just sat there. He didn't move.
He didn't like fist bump him, high five all the
He
friends.
didn't comfort him. He didn't comfort him. He didn't like stand up and go, yeah.
In your face.
No, he was supremely respectful of this fellow. And I'm like, oh man, I know your pain. It's that he has lost his processing. He can't process as quickly, and then he doesn't have the same eye-hand speed. And so he ended up losing because of that. And it was sad to see him break down in that midst. Oh, well, yeah.
That kind of reminds me of, I was listening to a podcast, and this has to do with setting New Year's goals and trying to get fit and go into this mindset of working out or eating healthy or being determined in your my mind. And so he kind of went into this whole idea of, it was so easy to go out when you were young and work out and do a run or go to the gym or whatever it was in your 30s, let's say. And you didn't even have to think about it. And you actually enjoyed it. And it was very rewarding.
Yeah, and if you kept doing it, you'd get improvements. You'd advance. You'd get even better. So there's like you're going higher in heights. You go into the heights.
And so now you mentioned this man who lost his processing speed. I feel like I've lost that, as well as I just can't go out and do a quick run. And if I do, I have the hip pain, the back pain, the recovery's longer. I can't run as fast, so therefore I don't make as much many gains. And I have to, do a workout that's 3 times longer instead of what I used to do. And so there's this whole, like, I feel like I'm pushing gravity up.
You're
Pushing something
fighting
up here.
against gravity. I think I said it this way a few months ago. I realized that my working out isn't about getting stronger faster. It's about getting weaker slower.
That's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Do we sound like two old people? I feel like we're talking
Carrie,
about our aches and pains.
welcome to the real world. But it really, I think that 2025 is about living with our eyes wide open and
Stay alive.
stay alive in
And 20, that
25.
would be for
I'm
California.
about thrive in 25, all right?
California would be stay alive.
Well, I think this is so important in the spiritual life to be able to say, am I just living with my head down and just doing the same things? And if so, is it getting the same results? And the challenge is that we are swimming against a stronger tide. Even though there are like little signs and signals in our culture that things are potentially turning around, or sort of conservative values and a Christian vision is becoming a bit more of overt.
How about just normal? We're
Not
leaving the crazy woke, crazy a man is a woman,
some of
you can
it.
change your gender. That
Yeah.
crazy stuff to, like, let's just get back to what's normal, like normalcy.
Okay, so that's all on the one hand. But on the other hand, there's the rise of the internet, and the smartphone addiction is just increasing so much.
You know what I've been addicted to lately? The wildfires. I am just,
And when you say addicted to it, people have to understand what do you mean by that?
do they really need to know? Just so I hardly ever have the TV on, and I'm wanting you to put it on the TV and cast my YouTube or something, whatever it is that you cast to that TV while I was making dinner, watching the live coverage, and it goes on and on and on. I think they're up till 11 our time, which is the same time as California, and I just could not get enough of the coverage. I didn't really care about the weather part of it all. more just not seeing any kind of progress, seeing their lack. And then it went into the next day of another fire started and another fire started and people died. And then you start to see all the destruction. I mean, it is incredibly apocalyptic. I've never seen worse. Have you seen, maybe the tsunami was worse, with that tsunami like 8 years ago or 7 years ago in Asia. I think it was in Asia. But this is like so incredible. And I think what's so striking is it's the very wealthiest, nicest, most pristine neighborhoods in the country. If you know Malibu or Pacific Palisades, where the Hollywood actors and producers and executives, whatever, they all live in that area. And it's not just their $20 million homes or $10 million homes, it's all the treasures that they have in that home. And the incredible, I don't know, it's just, you're just seeing this like all burn. And it's like, pay attention. I think the Hollywood sign burned yesterday or today. And then going from that to the, okay, there's hardly any containment, to, okay, whose fault is this? Could this have been prevented? And so then I got caught up in all the politics of it. So started watching or listening to kind of short little blurbs on the water shortage and how that happened, or there's no power to the
The
hydrants, or
insurance
there's
companies
the
and
insurance cuts
state
that all
insurance
pulled out of
policies.
the state or pulled out of fire coverage, and all the politics of California is already crazy. And then I'm involved in people leaving California and seeing where they're moving. And so the real estate part of it, anyhow, I was like, kind of a waste of time, but I'm totally entertained and invested in following this. And when I say, I was on my phone or listening to it, it was like I was driving around, picking up kids, dropping off kids, running to, had to go to Coeur d'Alene for a couple errands. So, you know, just kind of listening to different things. So it wasn't sitting on my phone staring at it. I'm multitasking usually, but it's just occupying my brain.
Walker Percy wrote a book called Lost in the Cosmos. It was a series of essays. And in it, one of them, he says, why are we, modern contemporary Americans, so fascinated with other people's tragedies that we just become like fixated on them? And that's what this feels like. It's like, it's a, you look, you know, you're watching the live stream and they're showing a library burned down and a church burned down and neighborhoods burning down. And they talk, you're listening to the neighbors that are talking and it's a bit mysterious. And it's certainly something that I wonder about, like what is it about us that we're so drawn to other people's tragedies? But hey, we're up against a break, Carrie. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran, and I'm with my lovely wife, Carrie, on this Faith and Family Friday. Carrie, beginning of the year, it's natural for us to focus on goals and making resolutions. And so that's how we're going to be intentional and dedicated to achieve those goals. And one of the important reasons to do that is so that we're not having to make choices every day. It gets so exhausting trying to make a choice every day. Instead of saying, no, I've made a commitment. And so in making that commitment, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to think about what I'm going to do. And that was part of what you heard on that podcast in different language. It talked about
Yeah, your desire for the moment is going to be stronger than your desire for the future. And so, in the moment, even though you say, I'm not going to eat after 7 o'clock, I'm going to have zero food, in the moment around 8 o'clock, oh, well, what would, you know, this bowl of ice cream hurt? How could that
no,
possibly?
what makes it hard is when everybody else is eating the bowl of ice cream and then it's after 7 o'clock. That's where I collapse like the house of cards. And so I'm like, well, if everyone's having a bowl of ice cream, I might as well just go make popcorn and just say, well, I'll start once everybody leaves, right?
And so the whole idea is to ignore this internal debate. And I debate myself all the time because I'm a questioner. I always question the sanity, or is this really necessary? Do I really need to listen? And so it's this idea of you, once you start debating, you're going to lose. Once you start going into your mindset of, oh, I can do this. This should be okay. I can make up for it tomorrow. You're going to lose. So much of what we do that's good is because we don't think about it. It just has to be automatic. And so I initially used to work out or run because I just loved doing it. It gave me a great dopamine feel, and I love the music. I love the
Just
time
all the other
away.
benefits of working
Benefits,
out.
yeah, it was
Yeah.
just easy. And now it's all the negative stuff of, oh, it's gonna hurt. This is gonna, the recovery is gonna be long. I don't know if this is really worth what it costs, blah, blah, blah. And so
Well,
you start to debate if it's not automatic. Then you get to the end of the day and you've fallen in your commitment to try to improve
yeah.
spiritual health and.
Well, and I think that's where community comes in too, right? I think that when I had the men's group years ago, and we would get up at 5 in the morning and go pray for an hour at the church, and I lived a half an hour away, I'm getting up at 4:20 to leave at 4:30 to get there at 5 to pray until 6.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that because, oh, this morning I want to do that.
Yeah, I think community is going to be a key thing in the future or currently, just because of, I think the biggest block or obstacle I honestly feel is the phone. Remember we were watching that special by Peter Santinello. He does these documentaries where he goes around to
The
different,
YouTube channel, yeah.
he goes to like different neighborhoods and he just presents a story. Like he'll interview the Bloods and the Crips or the Amish or the people in the Appalachian Mountain Range, and he just lets them tell their story, and then you can kind of draw your opinion, but it's not political or anything like that. And so we were watching one on the Amish, and we found it so striking that this husband has his passcodes held by the wife. And I imagine he holds her passcodes so that I think the guy was just marveling at how clean or how free from technology or temptation, I guess, the Amish might choose to live or how they live. And so he said, well, yeah, my wife holds my passcode, so I don't get tempted by pornography. Or what was it that they were talking about specifically on the phone? I can't remember. It was
I
maybe.
think it was, he was saying, oh, no, we don't do social media,
Oh,
right?
yes. It doesn't go on social
So it was, even though he had a YouTube channel with his music on it,
media. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's
which
in
is
a
funny.
band or he
But
sings.
it was very well monitored. There were very tight guardrails
And
for how they were going to use it because they saw how dangerous it was.
that'd be interesting if you held passcodes for me or vice versa.
Well, and I actually looked up, okay, what software is good now for iPhones? Because years ago when I was doing it, it wasn't very good. The software hadn't matured. The apps hadn't really matured. So the one that seems to get the most positive recommendations is called Bark.
Oh, I thought it was the GunSafe app.
The GunSafe app, yeah. Bark as a, well, it's sort of an advanced version of Screen Time,
Okay.
where you put your own limitations, or I can put limitations on your phone, and then when I forget the screen time password, you're stuck with those limitations, which that's probably a good thing. And so the kids, though, with Bark, it's a way for having they can't just reset the phone. If they reset the phone, then I become aware that Bark is no longer active on their phone. And they were like, "But Dad, we're adults now." And I said, "Yeah, but I'm still your father, and I still have a responsibility to provide and protect you guys from poison that is so easily going to come at you."
Well, I feel like they're adults, but you provide for their life. You pay for their life. It's like you're not quite
Right.
adults. You don't earn your own money yet, and you're not like literally out of our
And I
house. You
said,
just are at
well,
college.
let's do a little test to see how addicted you are to your phones. Oh, we're not. I said, great, give them to me right now. So I took their phones and their laptops.
And that was only like after 10 minutes of no, you don't need.
Oh, we don't need them. We don't need them. We
No,
don't need
we're
them. And all of a
fine.
sudden, and okay, give them to me. What? What are you talking about? How are we going to do this? And then where it really pinched them the most was at night. And I'm not saying that they were doing stuff on them at night, but it was, oh, I want to listen to Adventures in Odyssey, or I want to have an alarm clock. I said, great, I've got an alarm clock.
I want to have music on,
or I want to have
or
music
go to
on,
bed with
or I just
music.
won't fall asleep. And I thought, you know what? I get that.
We use these excuses. I just
We
think
absolutely use those
excuses.
excuses. So I took their phones, put them in the gun safe, and one night, it was just one night, and they were complaining about not having alarm clocks. So I said, what time do you want to get up? I'm your alarm clock. So I woke them up, and then we gave them 1 hour the next day, 1 hour to be on their phone.
These are kids in college.
Yeah, these are college age kids. And the two boys, what did they do for their hour? They played a video game on their
They
phone.
had to have their phone to play a game.
Yeah, because they don't have video games
Can't they just play
here.
spades? Why don't you guys pull out a deck of
Well, that
cards?
was another thing though that happened, Carrie. Well, it only lasted for a couple of days, and it was a nice experiment.
You let them take their phones when they went skiing?
John Luke's phone, I think, is here. I
Okay.
didn't track, like, oh, who has their
I know it's
phone?
a lot of work. Let me just say, when you track phones, and not only do they have phones, Tom had five laptops piled up in his office. And it's just like, oh, and then you have the three girls that are back in school saying, I need this to look up this, or I need to write this, or I need to figure out. I'm not trying to, it's effort, and that's our responsibility as parents to shepherd well. And man, if game is not 100% on, it's messy.
It's exhausting, but there's so much at stake, so much that the kids can have brought to them. So we're not done with this conversation. You have more passion about it than I do, from the standpoint of, hey, we're addicted to just having such easy, regular, almost persistent access to some type of media through the phone.
I feel like husbands that are providing for the family and are busy at work, are busy with work and all that, and helping the kids do different things, accomplish different things, you have less free time than I do. So I feel as a mom who has many hours to her own time myself, I can easily access my phone. I have the freedom. I don't have to write a report or, report to the boss or do a radio program or blah, blah, blah. All the responsibilities that you have, I do not carry. And so it's a lot easier for me to be caught up in it. And I was wanting to do this month, no phone in our bedroom. I really feel like, you set goals for the year. I was like, this one family just does a goal a month, like a little tiny goal, like I'm going to drink more water, or I'm going to not eat until 10 o'clock every day in the morning, not at night. Or I'm gonna not have the phone in my bedroom. And then they check in every week. They do like a Sunday session, and they just just share, how's it going? Not this hardcore, did you do that? But hey, how can we encourage you? And what are you learning about yourself and what you're trying to work on? So what do you think of that?
No, that's great. I think that we need to go from the dialogue to come up with some insight that says, here's our commitment.
All right, after January 20th, I'll be ready. I'm just
Because you get
kidding.
that next round of exciting political activity with the inauguration. That's very good. I
I
like
don't
that.
know. I just no, and I think we've talked about this. The healthy eating, the scale continues. I don't even want to get on the scale anymore. I'm like, just forget about it. I don't want to get, it's going on up.
Well, and again, this will be good for us to be transparent about with you folks that walk with us, because I would say that from the farewell standpoint, the moving stuff out of our
Your
lives,
word farewell.
my word farewell, I think that that is going to involve principally food and phone. Two F's.
Ah, another
Wait a minute.
two.
Oh, darn it,
Yes.
PH.
That's okay because we have photo.
Photo.
We
Photos on the
use
phones. There we go.
photo as one of the F's.
Yeah. So I think that use of technology and eating healthy, those are two big deals. All right. We're up against a break, Carrie. We'll be back in just a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Kern. It's always a joy to be with you guys. Go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and you can find these programs at the Dr. Tom Curran podcast. Look up the Dr. Tom Curran podcast. You can subscribe to it. Leave a review, rate it. Always give it the highest rating. Can I say that?
Sure.
Everybody else does.
Yeah, go.
Okay. So, Carrie, talking about this year and setting goals, I think we ought to also be open to what God has established through the church as a goal for this year, which is Jubilee. And it's a Jubilee year. Did you know that?
I heard about it yesterday, I think.
Yeah. Mary Grace.
Oh, that's right.
Mentioned it. I don't think I had heard that. I actually thought about it a few days ago. I'm like, hey, wait a minute, 25. I think every 25 years, it's a Jubilee year. And it's not just the Hunger Games. This is the church's tradition. And so 2025 is a Jubilee year. And Jubilee comes from a Hebrew word that means joy. And remember now, this is always the wow. Jubilee is not that we will discover more fully the joy that we take in God, but rather it is discovering more fully the joy that God takes in us, that God rejoices over us. He finds joy in us, and he wants to strip away from our lives those things that are holding us back from receiving a fuller inpouring, a fuller pouring out, a fuller anointing of joy. I love that.
I really like that too.
And the way that that got manifested in the Old Testament was by raising up these ideals for what are the things in our lives that are holding us back from experiencing joy.
And what was that in the Old Testament?
Yeah, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, it raised up, here are the requirements of the people of Israel, of God's people, for a Jubilee year. Debts are canceled. So you get rid of debt.
Hallelujah.
Wouldn't that be a great thing to rejoice over? Slaves set free. And so what are those things that are enslaving us? And God is going to give us the strength to be set free.
That's beautiful.
How about that in terms of the addiction to smartphones and
food? I love sugar.
Okay.
Dessert.
So here's another one. The land lies fallow. What does that mean?
Is it the land isn't grown upon?
Like, yeah. You don't plant a new.
But my word is fertility. How is that going to work?
Okay. Well, maybe the fertility is, well, here's the thing. The land becomes more fertile because it's allowed to rest.
Nice. So I'm going into a year of rest.
A year of rest. Amen. Carrie, I'm going to say farewell.
Farewell to those kids. How soon can we get them on the plane? I'm just kidding.
But I am seriously discerning at this stage in my life, what does this mean for me in terms of Jubilee that the Lord has for my life?
Now, why would they use the land being fallow? Is that the right way?
Lie fallow,
For a Jubilee year, that doesn't, you think it would be the land is like increased in crop or something?
Well, I think what happens is that to grow a crop, it's going to draw from the soil nutrients. And so when you let the land lie fallow, you're going to give the chance for the ground to regain nutrients that are needed.
These are good. What's another one? Yeah. Are there any more?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, sins are forgiven. So your sins are forgiven.
And so once every 25 years?
So there's, let's call it this way. There's a special grace given.
Okay.
That the Lord is saying, look, what I'm doing at all times, I'm going to elevate up and raise in front of you to make it emphasize in a more extraordinary way the graces that I have for you in living your life. So the Lord is like setting apart this time to be able to emphasize.
How did that show up in the Leviticus? Your sins are forgiven. It's just a word spoken by a prophet, or did they actually have like, they did a bigger,
to be honest with you, I don't know what sacrifice? Kind of like ritual they did. If there was some kind of ritual expression of Jubilee, your sins are forgiven.
When you did this in 2000,
the great Jubilee year 2000. Yeah.
How did it, is that what you guys proclaimed as these four things?
Well, it was, you remember, they had those years leading up to it. And then during that great Jubilee year, you had the opening of the doors, the holy doors.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, that happened on Christmas Day, Midnight Mass.
Was it at every cathedral?
They did it. Yeah. So during the Jubilee, great Jubilee year, you remember they had holy doors established. I think every diocese's cathedral had a holy door to pass through.
I think the bishops are on their phone too much because I don't know if we're doing anything this Jubilee 2025. Or maybe I'm on my phone, but on the wrong website, and I need to go look at what we're doing for the Jubilee year.
Well,
I've
let
just
me
never
just
heard
say
anything.
This way. It caught me off guard, and I'm pretty involved in church stuff, and I didn't hear anything about this. So I'm like, wait a minute.
I don't think.
I'm calling it.
Okay,
I'm,
next week we'll talk about it. So we opened the doors. That was the thing they did in 2000.
Yeah, so part of being in a Jubilee year is you're a pilgrim.
What?
Yes.
That's it.
You're making your pilgrimage to
Camino. Here we come.
It's the Carrie.
Do the Camino.
I am telling you.
To go on
it's
the
a sign. It is a sign.
No, it really means you're on a pilgrim. Is that related to Leviticus and Deuteronomy or whatever book that was that you mentioned?
The idea is that you are God's pilgrim people, that you're on a pilgrimage towards God, that you're on a journey towards the Lord. And as you're on that journey towards the Lord is journeying towards you, and he's going to meet you with graces you need to be able to live that journey more fully.
So people could be on a pilgrimage this year.
Yeah.
Of some sort. It could be spiritual.
Right. And so what they would say is make a pilgrimage to the holy door in your diocese.
That's right. And I do remember people making special pilgrimages that year.
Yep. So this is kind of cool. This is kind of unfolding live for us here. And just to see, God, what are you doing with all of this? I would say that brings out a very important part of, let's call it the fundamental dynamism of our life of faith, which involves not only communion, but mission, that we are together, right? You think about all those things that we do together as a family, it's being together, playing cards and stuff like that. But there's something so powerful and beautiful about a family going forth together on mission.
Getting out of the escape room. That was
a mission.
Submission. And we did the hardest escape room because it was the only one available.
Oh, really? That's why we did it?
Yes.
I thought you were looking for it.
No, I was looking for an easier one.
Really?
So we did the hardest one and we actually beat it, I think 13 minutes left. It was super fun. I have some really smart kids. I was lost. I solved one thing, but all 11 or 10 of us in those rooms, you had to go through four different rooms, and people from all over the country come and do this escape room. And he knows. Yeah, I talked to the guy there and he's like, yeah, we have people that, what are they called, that they do escape rooms all the time? There's some funny name. And he knows immediately if they're like real escape
rooms. Oh, because
runners.
Some of the questions they're asking.
Like, is there any red herrings? Is there any of this? And yeah, so he said that, and then the reviews it got was really high. This is in Post Falls, this escape room 49 or something. Anyhow, it was super fun. Like, it's super fun.
I loved the moments of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, I got it, right? No, yes. Hey, I got it. So these like explosions of delight.
And everyone, it seemed like everyone got something, like everyone figured out something. Oh, I figured out the dot things. The three red lasers. But we were on mission. It wasn't,
right.
See, this is the thing. Our kids will sit around and visit and hang out, but we're not doing any kind of mission.
Yeah.
And so it feels very flat to me. And I get a little frustrated with all the time that passes.
Well, let's just say it this way. The gift of communion, it has a shadow side. It can leave you flat and motionless. It'll dry up unless you end up moving outside yourself and beyond yourself, right? So that's the mission component of things. And the same is true if the only thing you're doing is doing stuff together and you're not just being together, enjoying each other, then you're also missing out and those relationships will fragment. So it's communion and mission. It's both. And so I think that when we're thinking about establishing resolutions, it's natural to have a lot of those resolutions and goals be connected to the smooth functioning of the family, that communion goals. But I think that it's wise to also establish some mission goals, the going out together goals, like the Camino. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a blend of communion and mission. You're not convinced yet. Okay, well, I'll keep praying about it. We'll see. So I one last thing is that when you can be united in a mission, you'll get more energy. And I have to end with basketball. So I was talking with a coach. We had a particularly depressing loss, and it was really probably it was the most terrible game of the season, the worst game I've ever coached. That's the way I looked at it. And she said, what we're missing most of all is enthusiasm. So the next practice we got together, and I, instead of starting with a warm-up, I said, we're going to start with a dodgeball game. And these girls were so fired up during the game. Teamwork, communication, working together, enthusiasm, even when they were out cheering each other on, it was so powerful. And I think that's the kind of thing that we need. Dodgeball. Thanks so much, Carrie. God bless.